Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So there was a piece that showed up on Facebook for me, and I don't even remember who I followed that posted this, but out of parents.com, there's a woman named Michelle Hollow who wrote this piece called 9 Dinner Conversation Topics to Tackle Before Your Child Turns 10. And she says, mealtime is often when the whole family gets together. Here's what you should be talking about and how to get your children to share what's on their minds. And to me, this is especially relevant given that we spent 2 hours of the show yesterday talking about teens' mental health and how to, you know, make sure you know what's going on with your kids and make sure you know the things that are on their minds before things get to be really problematic. But also, I think, you know, just building that relationship with your kids when they're young, and so they know that they can come to you with things and you can talk about things, that starts early. So the way this starts off is Jamie Alter, a mom from Chicago, Illinois, knows it can be next to impossible to get her 2 children, ages 7 and 9, to open up. She said, it used to be that I'd ask, how was your day? And their standard response was, fine. She wanted to have deeper conversations with her kids, but didn't know how. So the writer of the story asked a licensed psychologist named Sarah Lynn, who suggested a more pointed question than how was your day. Instead, asked something like, what made you smile or laugh today? And they said, consistency is key. And I'd love to hear from some of you on your approaches to this, because I know it's difficult as your kids get older and they're involved in multiple things. Do you do mealtime? And if so, what do you use, you know, that family mealtime for? Because this expert said consistent family mealtime can provide security and create opportunities for positive interaction among family members. And then be sure to listen to what your kids have to say. And I think that's a key time to get an idea of what's really going on in their heads. So there are 9 topics on this list of things that they say you should have with your child before they turn 10. Dinner conversation before your kid turns 10. You're going to notice in this list, some of these things would naturally just come up, and other things you can tell they're on the list because they feel like you need to start these conversations early.
All right. So this is by the time Britain becomes 10.
Before 10.
I should have had all these conversations.
And I would love people's feedback on what you think about this list.
Okay. All right. 576-7798. You can text in 22980.
Particularly number 1 on the list. The news. Dr. Lynn, the psychologist, said some topics may be scary, but your child is likely exposed to them in conversations with their peers, hearing it mentioned on TV or seeing it online. In general, if your child asks about newsy topics like fires, accidents, or school shootings, keep the conversation aligned to their developmental levels and remind your kids that they're safe and secure. Here's a question I have. It's one thing if your kid sees something in the news or hears about something and brings it to you, but do you generally just have conversations with your kids, and particularly parents that have kids that are a little bit older? When your kids were younger, did you bring up news at the dinner table about things that they may or so that, because I'm coming at it from bring it up to them before they bring it up to you, control that conversation and the message.
Like, what's the news you would bring up? I mean, I don't
think. It's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know if a 10-year-old, I would bring up, hey, do you hear MoDOT got that bond? You know, like, I don't know if they're going to understand that.
I don't know.
There's a lot of adults that don't understand.
But that's one example, and I don't have any immediately in mind. But things that are going on in your town, I don't know, you know, or national things, or if there is a big, and it doesn't have to be negative. We immediately go to that place. Yeah. But if just there are things going on in the world, are there things that you talk to your kids about in the news? I don't know. Well, I see why they're...
This next one.
I see why. I don't like how they're labeling it, but I get why they're going to this place. Climate change is how they headline it. What they really mean is the environment. Does your family recycle? You know, and do you talk to them about why you recycle? Do you say, you know, instead of just, you know, hey, turn the air conditioning up when you leave so that it doesn't run up our bill, do you talk to them about conserving energy? You know, do you talk to them about the environment?
I had that class where we were taught some of that in school. I remember in elementary school, I can think back, and I lived in California at the time, and we were in a drought all the time. It was constant drought, and you know, you weren't allowed to wash your car on certain days and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we had water conservation classes or lessons that we were taught. And, yeah, I mean, I think you learn in school about that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's ridiculous to have recycling conversations and those kinds of things with your kids. And I don't think it's ridiculous. Labeling it as climate change in the story is dumb.
Yes.
We need to talk about climate change a little, Timmy.
No, you don't.
No, you do not.
No, you don't. They'll cover that in science class.
Yeah.
Leave that there.
Yeah, look, by the time Britain's around, this whole planet's going to be 1,000 degrees.
I like number three on this list, and I'm going to broaden what they're calling it here. Talking to your kids about other kids that are different. They're labeling it special needs and disabilities. But I love that this is on the list. Teaching them compassion when they're younger and teaching them that just because this kid is different or is in a wheelchair or has whatever thing is different, teaching them that everybody's the same, to treat them the same way.
I think 10's far too late. I think this is one of those that you have as soon as they, you know, they start interacting with kids. Maybe there's kids that are in wheelchairs in their class. Maybe there's kids that are slightly autistic. Maybe there are kids that are just not the same as them. I think you have that conversation much earlier than 10, but I'm glad to see this is on the list.
We'll go through more of these.
The next one on the list, I don't know, man.
But here...
I don't know about this next
one. Okay, I'll leave you with this one. We'll take the break. We'll come back and talk about this. Number four on this list is politics. And here, I'm sure the reason it's on here is because they are taking history classes when they're young. They are learning about government when they are young. Again, I think they pick very simple words, but one of the experts said, if you want your child to talk to you, you have to talk about the pros and cons of a political decision without being judgmental.
Which we're all doing so well in 2019
when
it comes to politics.
But you want your kids to understand how government works, you know, because you want them to be responsible citizens. You want them to get involved in, you know, in their community. And with that, you have to cover politics. Good luck.
At 10?
Or younger. Yeah.
What conversations should you have by the time your kids turn 10? Are any of these on your list? 576-7798. First three we've discussed. The news, they call it climate change, but it's more of an environmental recycling conversation. And the third was special needs and disabilities. I think that one happens way before you get to 10. And then there's number four.
Which was politics. And here's how they explain it. Even a young child can write a letter with your help to a local politician sharing their views, telling him how they'd like to vote on a local bill or a national cause, or asking how they can get involved. I think that goes to the idea of just civic involvement, which is a good one. You don't have to talk about the national election and President Trump's language on Twitter. You can get into the importance of voting. And I love that. The sooner you instill that in your kids, the more people we're going to have voting.
We need to bring Schoolhouse Rock back so kids can watch and learn, you know, how a bill becomes a law. Like that, just show them that. But I think it is important to, you know, at least here's who leads your city. Here's who leads your state. By the time you turn 10, here's your president of the United States and kind of what that means. There's a difference between that and getting in the weeds of Trump versus Congresswoman Omar. Like, they don't need that at 10.
Wicket.
Yeah.
How old were you the first time... Do you remember the first funeral you went to? Do you remember the first time you learned of a death that meant something, you know, that mattered?
Either my neighbor, his name was Mr. Ray. We flew back from Michigan or to Michigan when I was living in California when that happened, long time ago. But probably my grandfather.
Yeah.
Probably my grandfather.
So death is on this list. And so the thing, and I don't want to have a gun conversation, and guns is not on this list. But maybe it should be, because I think you have to have conversations younger than you are probably comfortable with about the idea of permanence, about the idea that because we have accidental shootings, we have kids that go to friends' houses and there are guns there. And the thing that we talk about is kids don't understand that death is permanent. And I know that's a huge... I don't know how you bring that up at the dinner table, you know, without having a reason to.
I mean, it's like if your grandma dies and you're 7, where does grandma go?
Right.
You know, where did, I mean, trying to explain to, you know, Lee's or our niece when My father-in-law passed. She's three. She doesn't have any idea what that was.
It's a pet, though, right? That's probably more likely to happen, yeah. Is that you're going to have a pet that dies.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, the permanence of that. But I think the trouble is you don't want to scare them, but they need to understand. And again, I don't want to have the gun conversation, but if you pick up a gun and shoot somebody with it, that person, yeah. It's not the same as TV.
It's a responsibility thing. You know? It's hard to explain to a six-year-old, maybe it's seven or eight, but that's where the people that say, well, guys, I teach my kids gun safety and about that, and then that may factor in.
Drugs, alcohol, and smoking on here, which I think is, again, maybe you don't feel comfortable at 10. None of these things you're going to be comfortable talking about, right, at 8 or 9 or 10, but you need to talk about all of them earlier than you think.
Do kids still learn DARE?
I don't
because we had
know
dare.
If the dare conversation. Yeah,
we had dare in third or fourth or fifth grade or whatever. I mean, dare failed. Dare didn't work.
Right.
But I think you have those conversations. I think you talk about. I mean, can a 9-year-old understand what cocaine is?
Does a 9-year-old? You don't have to be specific, right? You can just talk about drugs and saying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't just say tell
don't
them
do
no,
drugs.
But right, right. But and I think when they're younger, it's the importance of telling them it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
It's okay to not do the same thing as your friends are doing. It's a, you know, and here's again, the line is you don't want to scare them into submission, but you want them to understand the impact. Mental health is on this list. I'm going to put it with bullying because to me that all goes into the same thing.
Yeah, they have two on here, bullying and mental health.
To me, it kind of goes to the same place. But what they suggest about mental health is not just asking, how was your day, but digging in a little more about, well, what did you learn today? What did you and your friends talk about today? What's going on with this friend or that friend? You gotta be more specific about it than just to ask, how's it going?
And care what their answer is.
Listen to it first.
Yeah.
You know, you really got to hear it and listen to it first.
Mm-hmm.
The last one on here.
And by the way, real quick, what bounce back to bullying real quick was the other one. Because, you know, along with that, because somebody could just be depressed, but they can also, and we talk about bullying a lot on this program because unfortunately bullying is just at an all-time high, it feels like. And the other side too, you know, to teach your 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old whatever, pick out on another kid ain't cool.
So we've talked before about how do you fix, well, I need a better term, but how do you solve bullying? And part of what we have to do a better job teaching our kids with, and I'm glad you brought that up, is very often the reason a bully will bully another kid is because they've got an audience for it, is because they're being cheered on from the gallery. A bully won't bully another kid if there's not, you know, validation coming from a group. Teach your kid to be the one that fights for, you know, the kid being picked on and stand up to the bully. That'll diffuse it pretty quickly.
And who they can talk to. Like if you're getting picked on, you're getting bullied, who can you talk to? If your friend is the one getting bullied or picked on, who can you talk to?
Yeah.
You can go to a teacher. You can go to a counselor. You can come to me and I'll handle it, hopefully, the right way.
Yeah.
That's on there too.
The last one on here is what they're labeling, it's a big one, sex, consent, and boundaries. Good touch, bad touch. Is that what we learned when we were young? When we were really young?
People claim it, but I don't remember. I don't remember that one, but people talk about it a lot.
Stranger danger. It was kind of those two things. It goes way beyond that now. We've talked before about, I don't think you were here. I think somebody else was here when we talk about it. It even goes down to, I have said, and I catch myself doing this sometimes with my friends' kids when I see them and they're young, Kara's kids, whatever. Hey, give me a hug when I see them. Mm-hmm. Even now, I'm wondering if that's even a good thing to ask, because you don't want your kids to feel like they ever have to have physical contact with another person if they don't want to, if they're not naturally inclined to. To me, it even starts with that.
I mean, this is great. They break it into kind of two different groups, 2 to 5, 2-year-olds, I have no idea, but 3, 4, 5-year-olds should learn about boundaries, you know, ask permission to tickle them when you want them to stop. Obviously, that's there. And then kids 6 to 10, I mean, now you're talking about photos, you're talking about Instagram, you're talking about strangers, you're talking about social media. When they get to be that age, if you see something, talk about it. Again, it kind of goes back to the bullying thing. If something makes you uncomfortable, who can you talk to when it comes to consent, when it comes to, God forbid, sex at that age, boundaries, touching? Who can you talk to? Who can you trust? And a stranger isn't the right answer. Your teacher, a counselor, me, mom, dad, neighbor, those kinds of things.
Pictures, you know, the permanence of pictures. And if the kids are online, there are so many different ways that strangers and predators can find your kids online. And again, if you can just keep the internet away from your kids until they're like 18, that's probably the better way to go. Of course, unrealistic.
Just wrap them in bubble wrap. Keep them in the basement. Don't let them out.
But it really does start as if something makes you uncomfortable, listen to that and tell somebody that. Even if it's somebody that you feel like you should trust, speak up about it.
It's on our Facebook page. All 9 of them are there. And you can add to the list. Facebook.com/981KMBZ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.